Welcome everyone to episode 212 of the Reds Unrestricted podcast. I'm your host David Comerford. I'm joined by Liam Tower and Dan Club to discuss Liverpool's 3-1 win over Fulham.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
So a much needed boost for Liverpool and a timely one as well, obviously, in this Premier League title race. They've beaten Fulham 3-1. It wasn't all straightforward by any means. Fulham getting the equaliser through Castagne in first half stoppage time after Trent Alexander-Arnold's free kick had put Liverpool ahead. But Ryan Gravenberch scored pretty early in the second half, and then Diogo Jota, with about 20 minutes to go, sealed the 3 points. And after obviously a really difficult couple of weeks for Liverpool where things just threatened to unravel, hopefully this is a result that puts them back on track and definitely obviously keeps their hopes of winning the Premier League title just about afloat. So if we have just a quick look at the table as well, still Arsenal ahead on goal difference and theirs is 8 better at the moment. Both teams on 74 points, having played 33 games. And then Man City in third at the moment, obviously with 32 games played and 73 points as well. Liverpool and Arsenal will both play again before City play that 33rd match against Brighton in the week. Liverpool, obviously, with the derby, and Arsenal playing Chelsea at home. So, lads, before we get into the performance itself, obviously, there was quite a lot of talk about the team selection from Klopp. We saw plenty of kind of big-name players left out of the starting lineup after that trip to Italy in the week. And obviously, after Liverpool's recent struggles, I mean, if you have a quick look at the bench now, Szoboszlai, Nunez, McAllister, Salah, Konate, Jones, all on there, which meant chances for the likes of Gakpo, Jota, Gravenberch, Endo, Elliott, Kwanzaa in the starting lineup. I'll come to you first, Dan. I mean, what did you make of that when that kind of, I was going to say when that came out at 3:30, but these days it's much earlier in the day that we kind of know what the team is on social media. But yeah, what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, big name players, yes, but big performances of late, no. So not a huge shock. I think it's still a brave old call, I'd have to say that, because when you sort of weigh it up in your head during the week in preparation for a game like that, and you get asked, obviously, like what would be your starting 11, in one hand, you want to make changes and you want to make those brave calls because, as I mentioned, like these players haven't been performing anywhere near the level that we come to expect from them, and they have been out of sorts, a lot of them as well, I would say. And some of the fringe players probably deserving of a chance, and they've played well when they've been dropped into games. Certainly, Cody Gakpo fits into that category, I'd say. So, yeah, I think I would have liked to have seen the changes, and obviously that's what they end up doing. But having said all of that, when you sort of boil it down to how important the game was and what's still at play here and what's still at stake, it's still a big old call to drop players like Mohamed Salah, Darwin Nunez. Like, that's a massive shout from Jurgen Klopp, and credit to him for it. He's clearly, how you go about pitching that to those players is fascinating to me. And I think training obviously plays a big part in it as well. Certainly when it comes to Gravenberch, he's one we haven't seen a lot of recently at all, really, in any way, shape or form. So he must have been performing well in training to warrant that selection ahead of likes of McAllister and Szoboszlai, certainly. So, yeah, very brave, very bold. And the type of decision that, you know, can backfire, but when it pays off, you look like a bit of a genius for it. So credit to Klopp for making it. It was the right call, 100%. But like I say, when you get asked, it's too easy just to go, oh, I'll just stick with the strongest possible 11. Even during the game, during the first half, I was there yesterday. There's a bit of me going, yeah, we're playing really well, but imagine an on-form Mo Salah. But when they come, Mo Salah isn't on form right now. So, yeah, credit to Klopp for it.
Yeah, I think it's this thing, isn't it, where it's like people obviously complain a lot about what they've seen recently and sort of say like, oh, you know, Klopp needs to be brave, Klopp needs to make changes, you know, he needs to be dropped type thing. And then when they're actually confronted with the possibility of him being dropped and the reality that it's happened, and they're like, you know, it's all panic stations all of a sudden. I was a bit surprised, I think, to see the changes, only in the sense that Klopp had seemed to strike a pretty positive note after the Atalanta game on Thursday in terms of saying, you know, we're back on the right track, we got the win, we got the clean sheet type thing. And I thought, is he going to sort of see that as a positive performance and try and almost keep that same template? But obviously changed it up quite a bit. To be fair, I mean, looking at the lineup, I think the front line and the back line looked pretty good to me still. despite the changes. It was the midfield I looked at and I was like, that's pretty much the trio we had for most of the Europa League group stage games. Like, I don't know if that's like what you want in sort of late April now in a title race. Were you sort of surprised, Liam, and were you concerned when that 11 was actually confirmed?
Surprised, yes. Concerned, no. I do think that, like, the one, I think the Salah one and possibly McAllister were the two that I looked at and thought, oh, no, that made me stop in my tracks. But the rest of them, I wasn't hugely surprised. Though, like Dan has said, there was quite a few of those names on the bench yesterday who haven't been anywhere near their best when starting recent games. And I think, if anything, I think it was important for Klopp to almost send a message, like, firstly, to those who had been starting, that, you know, you're by no means guaranteed your place, that, look, if you, you know, if you're not meeting the standards that we need, I have perfectly good options there to go in instead of you. And also, I sent a message to maybe those who hadn't been starting and might have been there wondering, goodness, why am I not getting the chance when, you know, those who are on the pitch, you know, aren't proven to be up to it in recent weeks. So, like, I think it was definitely a brave call, but it was bold by the manager, Joe, considering, as you said, how much was at stake. But it again showed that, you know, the club is not afraid of, you know, making big decisions like that when they're needed. And ultimately, the final result vindicated that. And I also think that there's an element of him maybe playing the slightly longer game with this, because yesterday was the second of four away matches in 10 days where there's like zero margin for error for things to go wrong. So I think there is an element of, you know, like, squad management to all of this. Like, he could make six changes again for Everton Wednesday night and the team wouldn't necessarily look any weaker. Now, I don't think he should make six changes because most of us who played yesterday, to be fair, justified their selections. And I know we'll get on to this in more detail in a bit. But another thing that I would say as well is, for how many weeks have we had to scrape a starting 11 together, never even mind a matchday squad, because we had so many players that are injured? Now do we have the majority of lads back? Of course Klopp should, you know, utilise that to as best as he could. It's like when people said about the first leg against Atalanta, oh, why has he gone so strong? The guy looked at it and thought, he finally has depth of options at his disposal. Of course he should use it, Joe. There's no point in complaining about, oh, that they haven't got enough players, or we have so many injuries, etc. And then when some of those injured players come back, Joe, flog the same lads who got us through, like, February and March in particular. So I was surprised by the lineup yesterday, but I wasn't overly worried, and like I said, there was the end result vindicated the manager.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, you mentioned some of the players there who might be sort of fatigued. I mean, there was weeks on end where we were coming on this podcast and sort of raving about Alexis McAllister, but I just think in the past few games, he's really looked tired, and that's no surprise. I mean, he seems to have played virtually every minute, started virtually every match in that period. Szoboszlai, obviously, I think, has tailed off kind of since the autumn, really, and I do think that he probably covers more ground than anyone else in this Liverpool team. So I think he might, you know, fatigue might be playing a part with him as well. And then you've got Salah as well. You know, I think maybe question marks around his 100% fitness at the moment. Just the way this season's panned out, we're coming back, dropping out the team again, then coming back again. Seems to have disrupted him a fair bit. And yeah, I mean, even Joe Gomez, like, on the bench yesterday, I mean, he played a lot more than any of us thought as well too. So I think those things obviously factor into it, especially when, I think tiredness has been a really big theme recently in this title race. I mean, people talking about Arsenal's players. I mean, there was that, I don't know if you both saw it, but there was a graphic the other day of the players, you know, in the Premier League who played the most minutes in all competitions, in the top, maybe like seven of the top eight or something like that, were all Arsenal players, because obviously they don't really rotate their first 11. Pep Guardiola going on this rant about how Man City had to play Wednesday, Saturday, even though Liverpool have played Thursday, Sunday about 10 times, it feels like, this season. And then obviously with Liverpool, I think Klopp's been talking about tiredness, you know, and the players have visibly looked it as well. So it maybe gets to stage where you do have to combat that. And it is obviously a brave decision in the moment, but I think you make a good point, Liam. You know, you've got the squad there, you've got pretty much everyone back now, maybe with the exception of Thiago. And you should just use it, really. Use that advantage. And obviously, we'll see how many of those selections carry over to Everton in midweek. So now that we've dealt with the team selection, let's talk about the performance. Dan, what would be your kind of three-word summary of that, and what did you make of it? Because I don't think it was Liverpool at their very best by any means, but it felt like a marked improvement on what we've seen lately.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's reflected in my three-word match review, to be honest with you, because it's more like it, because that's what it felt like. I've gone on record a few times of late saying that the recent performances from Liverpool have been very un-Liverpool-like, in the intensity and what we pride ourselves on has just been missing a little bit. And now we've gone away from heavy metal football, I'm fully aware of that, but when sort of the chips are down and when you do need to sort of pull a performance out of the bag, we have often this season harked back to, right, let's just go hell for leather, let's see what happens, you know, push Trent into the field, et cetera, go for broke a little bit. And it's felt like of late, although we created a lot of chances and our frugality in front of the goal has been one of the biggest problems, really, how wasteful we've been has been a real issue. But recently, particularly in the Atlanta game, the second half of the second leg, it felt like the onslaught was never coming. And that was really strange to watch. Like, that is so not like us. Like, that onslaught, that, well, let's just see what happens, let's just give it a go, never really arrived. And it's been like that a lot recently. I think the Man United game, particularly in the FA Cup, felt like when we were 2-1 up, we were in cruise control a little bit. We were just keeping the ball. There's no real intensity. There's no really pushing what we were doing. Whereas yesterday, especially given the fact, obviously, we went 1-1 not long before half-time, that could have easily been a real blow to us, and we might have struggled to sort of bounce back from it. But I thought second half thought it was exceptional, and there's real purpose with what we did. And for large parts of the first half as well, to be fair, I think we were pretty much the better team throughout, apart from maybe the 5-10 minutes immediately before half-time. So, yeah, I just felt it was a lot more like us. Everything we did, like I say, everything we did had a real sort of desire to it. Everything we did had a real purpose to it, like I say, and a real sort of, like, we're going to go and take this game. We're not going to just die and wander in and just see what happens and hopefully we'll nick one. There was real intensity, real passion in everything we went about. And I thought it was just much better, much, much better. And yeah, I think the quality was there, obviously. There was moments whereby it was a little bit frustrating at times, certainly second half, where it felt like we could have put the game to bed a bit earlier, perhaps. But yeah, all in all, it just felt much more like us, and that was what I liked to see from it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a strange thing to say in the midst of a title race, but I kind of, similar to you, Dan, there was one where I just sort of thought, you know, these players are definitely not energised, maybe, but, you know, you couldn't question their commitment yesterday at all. And that's not to say that you could have done in games in recent weeks, but I was kind of struck by how hard they were working out of possession yesterday. And maybe that kind of feeds into the rationale for the changes, really, in terms of getting those fresh legs in there. And I do think that in terms of their pressing and, you know, commitment to the dirty work in that side of the game, I think that was something that impressed me yesterday. I'll throw it over to you now, Liam, your three words and your reflection on that game.
Okay, so for your review, clinical, composed, controlled. It was one of those matches where, like, it was difficult to overstate the pressure that Liverpool were under going into that match yesterday. So after the last fortnight, so considering that both Arsenal and Man City, albeit in different competitions, bounced back from their midweek European exits by both winning on Saturday, Arsenal in particular, because it was in the Premier League, it felt like yesterday was just one of those where, get a win. If it has to be scrappy, if the winning goal has to come off the butt cheek of a Fulham defender, so be it. Thankfully, it didn't quite come down to that. If Liverpool played with more authority yesterday than they have probably in any game since Sparta Prague, the second leg, and even that has an asterisk over because of how poor Sparta were on the night. Man City at Anfield might be a fairer comparison. But yeah, definitely there is a sense that this was more like a team going for a title. It wasn't without its complications. You know, like Dan said, you know, that Fulham goal felt like it was coming in a sense, that when they got it just before half time. And I suppose, despite my three-word review, the defending around that left a lot to be desired. But to be fair, I think the second half in particular was a sense of a team who it helps that we got the goal early in the second half. That gave us the foothold then to go on and like really boss the game thereafter. It was one of those I was watching, I was thinking, okay, if we get the third, I think that's it, because Fulham don't really look like a team who are going to suddenly launch back and catch us in the hop. So it was encouraging for what the next five games hold and for what we need for the next five games. And also, I think just the perfect response to like a very chastening fortnight where it kind of felt as if our season was in danger of petering out to anti-climax. I was quite happy yesterday overall. So that's definitely a lot more like it, and definitely a lot more encouraged going into the next few matches.
Yeah, in a weird way, it like surprised me a little bit that Liverpool won the game comfortably. I thought it just had all the bearings really of a match that was gonna go awry, because you know we've seen how Liverpool have played recently and how they've played against Fulham of late as well. You know, over the past couple of years really, and the warning signs were there. But now in the end, you could sort of relax with the final 10-15 minutes of the game, which was a bit of a surprise and bonus, I think. I mean, just looking at kind of the stats for the game, Liverpool, decent defensive performance, hold Fulham to 0.8 expected goals. They only had 1.0 themselves. I think that reflects the fact that obviously you got the Trent goal, you got the Gravenberch goal. You're talking about clinical, Liverpool have scored two worldies really in that game. And then obviously the Jota one, which is a bit more of a scruffy kind of bog standard type of goal. So I think, you know, when you look at the numbers, they look fairly even, but they also reflect the fact that Liverpool obviously just produced those moments of unbelievable quality in front of goal, and that's what made the difference. And that's kind of refreshing in a way, even if, again, like I said to Dan earlier, it wasn't a vintage performance. So let's talk about who stood out then within the game. We haven't really been able to do this sort of section of the three interviews recently because everyone's just been off it, but back on form here. So Dan, who were your kind of best players yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ignore Trent Alexander-Arnold, isn't it? You mentioned quality in front of the goal a moment ago, and albeit, you know, not your cool, calm and collected finish one-on-one with the keeper, it's right out of the top drawer, isn't it? And when you are, you know, in a little bit of a slump, I'd say. I think crisis, which crossed my mind momentarily there, would be too strong, but a slump, and obviously you both mentioned sort of the disappointing fortnight that it's been for Liverpool, not just in terms of performances, but also results. So I think we started the game well, and it would have been a real kick in the teeth. Like I say, I was there, I was watching it thinking, if we somehow conspire to go 1-0 down here, how does that affect us mentally? Because we have been so good. It's important that we get the goal, and the manner in which we did it was just exceptional. So yeah, and it was brilliant, full stop, let alone the actual quality from the free kick to get the goal. And there was one moment early which Harvey Elliott took, and the less said about that free kick, the better. But yeah, I think Trent Alexander-Arnold deserves a major shout out. I think Cody Gakpo as well. I said earlier on how he's been in what has been a poor couple of weeks for Liverpool. He's been one of the ones who really stood to be counted, it felt like. And he was brilliant again yesterday. Really intelligent. The positions he takes up between the lines, gets us turned so often, gets us back on the front foot, wins free kicks, links up really well. I thought, regardless of what position he was in, obviously he was central quite a bit, he was over on the left quite a bit as well. I think he links up with those around him superbly well, Andy Robertson included. Andy Robertson is another one who deserves a shout out for. He was superb yesterday, certainly second half in an attacking sense. And there's that moment whereby he brings it down from the sky and lays it off. I think it might be Virgil behind him, which is just filthy. And I think finally, Ryan Gravenberch for me, someone we've barely seen and become a little bit of the forgotten man, actually, from the Liverpool point of view. I had a conversation with somebody recently. Before one of the games, we talked about our midfield options and he never got mentioned. And I actually sort of didn't bring it up at the time. But straight away in my head, I went, you haven't mentioned Gravenberch there. So that just tells you that we have kind of just overlooked him. And, you know, part of that is due to the injury problem he had and his form's not been superb. But yes, therefore, he was excellent. I really do. So, yeah, they'd be my major shout-outs. I think there weren't really many off days. I think everyone improved second half markedly. I think Mataro Endo struggled massively in the first half, but got better. But outside of that, yeah, I think most were solid, but they'd be my sort of standout performers.
Yeah, I was going to mention Gravenberch. And to be fair, I think obviously the goal, his first Premier League goal, is the big moment for him. But I just sort of, it kind of reminded me of the Europa League games earlier in the season when there was a lot of sort of hype around him, which is obviously kind of transitioned into criticism for a lot of people since then. But in those games, you know, people were talking about how much of a steal Liverpool had. And the thing that reminded me was just he kind of has these moments where, and it's something that I've mentioned a few times, I just love the way he kind of takes the ball off the defenders when he's kind of facing his own goal or sort of, you know, on the half turn, if you like. And then he just kind of spins away. And it just adds so much, you know, momentum to an attack. And all of a sudden, it seems to open up the entire pitch. And I think that might be the most sort of useful asset he has, really. And there was a couple of instances of that yesterday. But I also think, you know, when I talk about the players who were really sort of committed off the ball, and again, you know, that is the bare minimum, but it is still something that I think there was a marked improvement in yesterday. You know, he I think that was one of his better performances in terms of the defensive side of things, even if maybe the numbers don't reflect that. And yeah, I mean, when I looked at the lineup for the midfield, I'll be honest, I thought, you know, I sort of said to my mates, like, one of those players is coming off before the 55th minute. Like, it had that kind of energy to it, especially because you could argue that none of them are, you know, absolute first choice. But if we just look now, Gravenberch played 74. And again, that's not the full 90 by any stretch, but that's not a hooking like he's had in a number of games. That's just, you know, him coming off a sub with the game pretty much already won at that stage. And I think if you probably looked at it, there'd be a lot of games where he's come off like 58, 62 type area. I think that reflects the fact that he did really well yesterday as well. So not kind of a well-beaten performance by any means, just probably like a solid 7 out of 10. That's what he needs, I think, after the way his season's kind of panned out in this like middle chunk, if you like. And just to mention on Trent, I'll come to you in a second, Liam. Find quite a good stat on the free kick that he scored. Only Jamie Redknapp and Steven Gerrard have scored more direct free kicks for Liverpool in the Premier League now. And to be honest, Redknapp being top of that list surprised me. He's got 8, Gerrard's got 7. So fair play to him on that. But yeah, Trent obviously will hope to maybe by the end of next season to be out on his own or certainly joint top of that particular list. But yeah, I'll throw it over to you now, Liam.
Yeah, again, probably not a whole lot different to what the two of you have already said. Like Trent was the standout. Like the free kick was sumptuous. And he's finally credited with a free kick going against Fulham after they took that one off him earlier in the season at Anfield when Leno only very marginally helped it in. And Trent likes scoring against Fulham, of course. He's done it home and away now this season as well. But even like from the get go yesterday, I just think the first 2 or 3 minutes, that pass he played to Luis Diaz, the one where Diaz like put it wide for a finish. Like even that ability to unpick an opposition defence, it was there on Thursday night when he got his first start in 2 months against Atalanta. It was there again yesterday, and like the difference that he makes when he's in that team from an attacking sense is staggering. And it's only kind of now that I've seen it in these couple of games that I almost feel that we took that for granted nearly. You know, when we had Trent, you know, starting regularly prior to his injury, you know, he just sets the tempo. And I think almost like that ability, that ball-playing ability, has offset a lot of the damage which could have been done from Thiago being injured. Because that was the one quality I felt that Thiago brought to the team above anyone else for his first 2 or 3 seasons at Liverpool. Obviously, you know, this one has been a total write-off for him, but that has been compensated for by how good Trent has been and how much more license he's been given to showcase that. Yesterday being another prime example. Gakpo as well, I thought was excellent yesterday. Got an assist, you know, worked so hard off the ball. 3 shots on target, including one which forced a very good save out of Bern Leno. You know, probably maybe a tad of, like, none of them from that you kind of thought were, oh, how did he not score that? But again, just by pure accumulation, maybe a tad of lucky not to get the goal that his performance deserved. But like Dan rightly said, another very strong performance on top of some encouraging ones recently after he'd taken a bit of flack, maybe prior to the Easter break. really encouraged by him yesterday. And like again, he's not one that you'd have down as an automatic starter, but I think with that performance, he has given himself a very strong chance of starting on Wednesday night, and probably for most of the remaining matches that we have in the season. Gravenberch as well, I was delighted for him on a personal level yesterday, not just for his Premier League goal, but also after maybe some of the flack that he's taken the last few weeks. And I was quite happy for Joel Kwanzaa too. Did nothing wrong with Note yesterday. Solid, dependable, exactly what he'd want from a centre-back, exactly the way he's been for most of the season, and probably the perfect response to what happened at Old Trafford a couple of weeks ago. Just says a lot about his mentality that so soon after such a fateful error at that age, he can go back into the starting lineup and not put a foot out of place. So I just want to give him a bit of a shout out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think between all three of us, you've mentioned pretty much everybody in the first 11, except maybe Alisson, Van Dijk, Elliot and Diaz. Obviously, Jota got getting a goal as well. So I think that just shows you how it was very much a comprehensive team performance yesterday, the kind that Liverpool have been lacking recently. Just checking now, I mean, Kwanzaa's up to 29. Or 28 first team appearances so far this season and 9 Premier League starts after yesterday, which again is quite mad to think of a player that a lot of Liverpool fans wouldn't really have heard of at the start of the season or certainly wouldn't have been particularly familiar with by any means. So yeah, and I mean on Trent as well, I just thought it was quite funny the cheek of him to celebrate in the way that he did in front of those fans after the way the past couple of weeks have gone for Liverpool. I was like, you are inviting the biggest kind of come down now in the second half after doing that. But thankfully, Liverpool were able to get the victory. And, fans of a rival team tend to give him a lot of stick at away games. So, fair enough, I suppose, if he's going to give a little bit of that back when he has his moments within the game. So just finish off then by talking about where Liverpool are at now in the race for the title. I'll come to you again, Liam. I mean, you've not been maybe the most kind of optimistic in terms of Liverpool's chances when we've kind of checked in with this. And I don't think there's ever been sort of a point where you've sort of said, you expect Liverpool to go on and win it. And a lot of fans would have thought that way as well. But myself and Jamie were speaking before this game saying how if Liverpool can win this as bad as the past couple of weeks have been, then the optimism levels will suddenly return. And that's the power that a single game can have. I mean, now that Liverpool have gone on and got the 3 points, you think that's what's happened? Are you feeling a lot better now about Liverpool's prospects of being able to stay in the fight till the end and maybe snatch something?
I'm definitely more confident about us taking it to either the final day or close to the final day. It kind of relieved me that it's probably not quite ready to peter out an anti-climax just yet. I am sticking with my long-held belief that I think we will fall narrowly short again. But what pleased me about yesterday wasn't just that we won, is that we played with enough conviction. It makes me think that, okay, the book probably has been closed on the previous fortnight and we are ready to go again. Like, I'm definitely more confident about the derby. Like, I'm still dreading it, like I always dread, I think, that particular fixture. But I think after yesterday, I'm a lot more confident that that we can go to Goodison and get the 3 points that we need, and that we probably haven't very regularly gotten there under Klopp. Like I said before, yesterday there's so much pressure on us to get a result. After the last 2 weeks and after Arsenal and Man City's results, they both answered their European exits with a win over the weekend, and thankfully we've done the same. And I think the manner in which we did it makes me think that, okay, at least we can hang in there. I think if we get through this week in particular, like, I know you look at Spurs and Villa probably being the two hardest games in terms of like where teams are in the league, etc., but I just think having this block of away games all so close together Like, does it? I think if we can come out of, you know, if we're speaking after the West Ham game on Saturday, and we happen to be top of the table, even if it's only temporarily, that would give me, you know, a lot more confidence that, you know, we'll hang in there until the end or close to the end. We're still ultimately dependent on, first of all, taking care of our own business. That's the point I've, you know, made to numerous people over the last few days or so. There's no point wishing for favours from the likes of Brighton or Tottenham if we're not going to take care of our own results. But I think if we can do that, then I suppose you'd always, you know, cling to the hope that maybe somewhere one team can, you know, do us the favour of a lifetime. So yeah, still not expecting us to do it, but definitely a lot happier after yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, and on the favours point, you know, we've obviously been here before twice, but the difference this time for me is that I just don't think City are as good, and I might be in those way at the end of the season. But I mean, even watching them against Chelsea in the FA Cup, just kind of occurred to me that, like, how many times I've actually watched them this season and been genuinely, like, daunted by what I've seen. Like, that's been hugely outweighed by the amount of times I've been like, God, you know, they were lucky there. They rode the luck in that one. Or kind of what I've just said to you, being like, that City team doesn't look as good as, you know, previous iterations. So that is, for me, the main cause for optimism. I think, you know, you can base your feelings on it, on the past and on kind of the history of it. And to be fair, that will play a part, that will give City extra confidence. But if you've watched enough City games this season, for me, I think it's pretty clear that this team is a marginal step back from previous sides. Obviously going out the Champions League as well, barely getting through in the FA Cup. I mean, that game had gone differently, we could be talking about a team that's, you know, at risk of winning none of the major competitions all of a sudden, which would be a mad thought. So, yeah, I think basically there's grounds to hold out hope. So I'll give you the final word, Dan. Obviously, we do have to sort of expressly mention the derby, unfortunately. I don't think many Liverpool fans are going to be especially looking forward to it this stage of the season away from home at Goodison. I think Liverpool were meant to play this game quite a long time ago. Actually, I think it's maybe instead of the Man United match, it's been rescheduled to obviously this Wednesday night. I mean, how much does Everton's result yesterday change this fixture? Obviously, they won, decent cushion now to the bottom three. I'm going to ask quite a cynical question now, but does this game for them become more about stopping Liverpool now than it does almost staying up, because they've got a decent cushion now to teams below them? And obviously we saw what happened to Luton at the weekend. They don't look like they're going to pick up enough points relative to Everton or relative to anyone, to be honest, to actually stay up. So the pressure's come off them a little bit. I mean, how much has that changed this game?
Yeah, hopefully slightly. I definitely think they've got enough to stay up. How much of an impact that has on their approach or their desire to sort of really bloody our nose and hurt our title chances remains to be seen. But yeah, in terms of what it means for themselves, I don't think there is quite as much riding on it as the one sort of like there could be, because you always approach these games with trepidation and dread, of course, because the derby, regardless of what's at stake, really. But there was definitely a lot of me for a long time this season thinking, what if it is massive for them in terms of staying in the Premier League? And obviously, it's going to be Goodison Park and all those factors. They don't look like they're going to be quite as at play as they once were, which I can only really view as a positive. So you're right, if what it means for them is slightly diminished, and it is more of a case of, all right, you know, a result would be nice, but we're probably fine. And also there's games to come whereby we can pick up the points required if necessary. So let's just try and hurt Liverpool. That's not quite as a bigger motivating factor as staying in the Premier League. So yeah, positive from our point of view. But I think in terms of what Liam said as well, I'm with him, like, this week is hugely significant, hugely significant. And we made it more so by not doing the business in previous weeks, obviously against Manchester United and Crystal Palace in particular. So yeah, I think if we can come out of this week unscathed in terms of picking up maximum points, because nothing less will do at this stage for me, I think that changes the landscape a little bit moving forward. And I think not just in terms of taking care of our own business is the be-all and end-all here. I think the players, I think about Trent, I said we've got five finals to go, and he's absolutely spot on in that assessment. But just in terms of our rivals, I think it would be silly not to look at what they've got to come up against this week in particular, midweek, and be like, okay, you never know. Because a rejuvenated Chelsea, you mentioned there, Dave, Chelsea, you know, they should have beat Man City at the weekend in the FA Cup for me. They're the better team, and they've got to go to Arsenal, obviously. And City complaining of tiredness and all that sort of stuff, going to Brighton, and Brighton on their day, I've said this all season, can beat anyone, it feels like. So hopefully they have one of them days. But yeah, I think for us, it is just about taking care of business. Starting in the derby, never easy. You know, Goodison Park will be bang up for it, regardless of what we think of the players and their particular motivations. The fans will be looking to dent our title hope. There's no two ways about that. So I think yesterday was the perfect preparation for that, because I don't think it'll be too dissimilar in terms of stylistically. I think Everton will be ever so slightly more defensive and look to sort of negate us. I think Fulham came out to play a little bit, which suited us at certain times during the game. Everton will be more solid. They'll try and be more solid. They'll put more men behind the ball, that's for certain. So yeah, I think it will be a slightly different one. But again, coming out of there yesterday, going to a place like that against a team that has been good at home in particular, fills me with confidence, because the manner with which we went about our business yesterday is exactly the manner we're going to have to go about business on Wednesday, and probably on Saturday as well at West Ham, albeit West Ham look like they've completely imploded, so that might be slightly different by then. But yeah, picking up that result yesterday was such a confidence boost, not just for us as fans, but probably the players as well. It felt like exactly what we needed to prepare for this week, which is a huge, huge week. And as Liam said, and the eternal optimist, as you probably know, Dave, I think if we can come out of this week with maximum points, I fancy us then. And I might be made to look foolish in that assessment, but it feels so, so big that the rest will almost just fall into place if we can take care of business this week.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, I just had, you know, an eye on sort of West Ham as well. I mean, 4-0 down in, 31 minutes yesterday. In the end, 5-2 looks a lot more respectable than the result could have been. But yeah, out of Europe, lost to Fulham at home previous week. It's going to be one of them games where it's like, you know, because it's Liverpool at home, because of what happened the previous week, is it going to be kind of that response game type thing? But it's also one of them where it's so kind of volatile, because if Liverpool go and score the first game, the first goal of the game, then the atmosphere could really just turn at that point, and it could get quite ugly for West Ham. Obviously, that game's only going to really have a lot riding on if we'll go and get the job done on Wednesday, as much as I kind of cling on to the hope that Everton might not be as motivated as they were. I remember in 18-19, when I think there was any risk of them getting relegated off the top of my head, they were playing Liverpool at home in February, early March, and Liverpool were going for the league, and it was that spell where they dropped a lot of points in quick succession. And one of my abiding memories is that they were celebrating the throw-ins every time they won them in the game. They were celebrating them like a goal. So I don't think you can ever underestimate the bitterness of the Blues, unfortunately. So even if the relegation battles had some of the things taken out of it, I think if I'm being completely honest with myself, I think the jeopardy is still going to be huge in that game for various reasons. So yeah. We'll leave it there for today's podcast anyway. Thanks very much, Liam and Dan, for jumping on, and thanks very much everyone for listening. If you have enjoyed the podcast, please give us a 5-star review. Remember to follow it and press the notification button as well, and you can find our Twitter usernames and the podcast email address in the episode description. As we said, Liverpool's next game is the Merseyside derby on Wednesday night, so make sure you join us for our post-match reaction to that one, and we will see you then.